voting on it.
So, what's the next thing? Oh, moving forward with the wastewater system. That's, you want to talk about that?
Sure. So, the last time we talked, I had in front of you an agreement to move forward on the preliminary design engineering. And that would be for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade, as well as the lift station upgrades. And then another portion of that that agreement was to also do the IEPA loan administration. So it'll be, you know, the stuff like we have to do for a debt authorizing ordinance, loan application. There's a lot of little hoops and stuff to go through with EPA, and it just takes some time to get through all those efforts. So the preliminary engineering will get us to about that 30 to 40% design stage. Help us define any major issues that we see, but it's usually a good first step, you know, rather than trying to encumber you with the entire design agreement, which will be, you know, much larger to finish out the complete design.
And that was.
So I'm happy to answer any questions if I can.
That was $124,890, right?
That is correct.
Okay,
That's broken down to the wastewater upgrades, the preliminary design at $74,890, the lift station upgrades, $30,500, and then the loan administration is $19,500. And the loan administration is one of those that we do a little bit every now and then and all the way through construction, so we kind of use those funds all the way through design and construction. That'll include the reimbursements when we're getting reimbursed for the loan.
So if we're going to move forward with the sewer plant, we need to start moving forward on the design plans to keep on track.
Have we as a board all agreed on moving forward with the sewer plant?
That question was asked at the last meeting and everybody nodded. We've taken votes on it. We've done all the studies on it. If you guys would like to, we can take a vote on whether you want to move forward as a board on it. The general consensus I've got from all the members is they want to move forward. I mean, a sewer plant that's running at 98% capacity all the time is not necessarily a good thing.
You don't think so?
Yeah. So, it doesn't leave us anywhere for expansion, that's for sure. Right. Ryan had Terry write up, and I was trying to move it into the chat log. He had him go through our water rate study. And can you talk a little bit about that document?
Sure, so the rate study had recommended, it had gone through an evaluation of alternate ways to look at the upcoming capital needs in both your water and your sewer system. And the two primary ways of funding those are pay-as-you-go or long-term financing. And the conclusion of the study was it was much better for the ratepayers for the long-term to do the long-term financing. And that's usually what we've seen as we've looked at these for multiple different communities over the years, is that just stabilizes the rates a lot better. So instead of looking at just one or two projects, we looked at the entire system, revenues of the system, expenses of the system, and then upcoming capital needs and how those were grouped into either long-term financing projects or some of those pay-as-you-go. And so the conclusion was that long-term financing is a better plan. We can have keep your rates I remember correctly, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I believe on the wastewater side, it was recommended for the first 5 years of an increase of 10% a year for the first 2 years, and then I believe it was 5% a year for quite a bit of time after that, and then it eventually drops down to cost of living, you know, 3% you know, range. And what we looked at was, you know, how this funds everything and how this keeps you at a positive balance in your cash reserves without going too low. So I looked at that to confirm that the that we were still on track with that, and we are. We don't need to think about changing that from what was originally recommended. On the water side, I don't recall exactly the increases, but they're going to be similar. The water improvement projects are a lot less capital intensive, so it's a smaller, smaller financing package that we would be looking at. And for those, you know, I would be thinking of coming back on the water side of things with a design agreement on some of the individual water mains, you know, in January that we want to go forward with. So, but those would be a much smaller effort than, say, the wastewater plant.
Okay, I think at the end of that rate, you suggested that raising the sewer up a little bit.
So what I looked at was, with a little bit of a change in the amount and how I looked at how Tim had laid it out, I was a little worried that around year 10 that we drop a little low on our reserves. It doesn't go negative, and it doesn't go too terribly low, but I just thought in year 10, that's 2030 time frame from now, that we should think about maybe another 10% increase at that time frame, and that keeps us at a nice cushion in your reserve without going too low. And certainly by about that time, you're going to be maybe even in that 7-8 year time frame, you're looking at redoing the rate study with more current needs and pressing issues that we don't even aren't aware of yet. So I think that's so I think what that says, so the next 5 to 7 years, the rate structure that we advised you on should be good going forward.
So just a question on this. Is this rate study based on just capital improvements?
No, we also estimated salaries over time, other expenses that the wastewater water system experienced. So we did look at a holistic look at the entire system, system revenues and system expenses.
What about our deficiencies that we have in the funds currently?
I beg your pardon?
What about our deficiencies we have in the funds currently to support currently what we're doing?
The deficiencies, is that what you just said?
Yes. Because currently,
yeah,
I don't...
We didn't look at the fact that your net, you know, we looked at a history, so past 5 years, you have been negative on those funds. And so that does get you to a positive balance on those funds, you know, going forward.
Okay.
And it, you know, year to year, it's normally positive. There are, you know, a few times where, you know, it doesn't quite balance because maybe we've scheduled out an unanticipated capital need project just to give you cushion, and so that income over expenses might not be quite there, but the cash reserves are what, you know, keep you going in that case. So that's what we really looked at, was the bottom line, that we try to keep that reserve number high, but not too high, not unreasonable for a community your size.
All right, more questions?
Just my feelings is, I think these projects, it's not really if we want them to go through, it's they have to in order for our town to grow and for us to keep flushing our toilets and to start eliminating some of the mass amounts of money that we spend for repairs on our water system, clean water especially. I just want to make sure that we're, because you know, we're so far behind in paying for these projects. I just want to make sure that, you know, this allocates enough money if we do these rates that it for sure will get us, you know, I'm not talking about making millions of dollars off of this, but at least so we're close to being in the green.
The black.
In the black, yeah. And not so far in the red that we are.
London is green. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Is pulling money out of the general fund to keep the water sewer system working, and all we're doing is putting band-aids on it.
Correct.
So, no, I totally agree on it.
And these need to happen, you know, just my personal opinion with maintenance items. If we don't do, you know,
if we keep deferring, yeah, it's going to be a humongous,
yes,
chunk.
And if we keep just doing patchwork, that's just a reactive, you know, maintenance plan. We need to get to where we're in a proactive. That's going to save us money in the long run. On most cases, it's about three times as much you'll save. So, yeah, my feeling is we need to keep moving forward on these projects, and we can keep talking about these rate increases.
So do you want to motion to approve engineering number 3? Here, there's a copy of the agenda.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve Donahue's wastewater system preliminary design agreement.
$124,890.
What Terrence just said. Make you feel any better, Rob, but those numbers are right on track of what it usually costs on a commercial side. Those numbers are shocking to most residential people.
All right, any other questions? Now, we do have a change order too for
Rob. We have to have a second.
We have to vote.
And we have to vote. Did someone second it? Hold on, no one seconded it yet.
No one seconded it.
I second it.
Okay, we have a second. Now we need a roll call vote.
Buffo, yes. Harry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
I will make. We can skip down to the change order.
I will make a motion to accept the change order for
$1,087.04.
Correct.
I'll second.
That change order was basically to get us up to code at our meter socket.
Electrical.
Yep.
And Vicky seconded that. We need a roll call. Randy?
Buffo? Yes. Harry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, anything else for engineering? We'll get you on here. Did we get everything?
I don't have anything more to add, at this point. So I know we've got some water system stuff you've been talking about adding that broad also advertise in January and see if we could get good pricing. And if we don't, we'll roll it into the loan and package to finance it over a longer term. So other than that, that's what I have for you right now.
Perfect. Any other questions for engineering while we got them on the line? Nope. Perfect. All right. Thank you. We have it.
We'll sign off and leave you guys alone for the evening then.
Thanks, Derek. Okay, we have a quick sale. We're going to skip down to miscellaneous. We have a quick sales presentation over the solar stuff.
Over the what?
Solar for the sewer plant, which is kind of putting the horse before the court or the cart, since we're redoing the solar. The sewer plant, but it gives us an idea and where we can move forward. So we have Tom and Lewis. Is that right? Okay. Perfect.
That is correct. So this is Tom. Lewis, Rob and I met back in early mid-October to visit the sewer plant and kind of took a tour of Tolono as well, and was able to gather enough information through Rob via the bills from the sewer plant, as well as photo and site documentation to be able to put together what's called a PPA proposal for you folks. Come up with a generalized design and build out for it, plus an estimate on annual savings that we'd be able to provide as well. A little background about ourselves, I guess I'm getting a lot of myself there. I'm a Simple Ray, we're a solar energy firm out of Fairfield, Iowa originally. We hold a office in Peoria, Illinois as well. And we've done many large projects such as this in Iowa, and we're cultivating quite a few in Illinois right now. Not too far south from you folks, we're currently putting a project together for the village of Kincaid as well. I don't know if you've heard of them, they're down by Springfield, but not too far from Tolono. So they're doing it, and there's many other communities that are interested in projects like these because the amount of annual income that can be saved by doing solar at sewage plants, water treatment facilities, whatever it is that's advantageous. In the case of Tolono, the sewage plant works out pretty well. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it. Rod took me out there. There's a large hill sitting there, and then there's a sidewalk area that's kind of designed for like jogging path and things of that nature. Upon an initial review, I was thinking the hill wasn't there, but when we got there, we're like, oh man, there's a great big nice sledding hill here, or whatever you want to use it for. Outside of that, the area between the sidewalks and the jogging paths worked great to put a solar array in. We're able to put a system in that meets your current energy demands, or size out a system that would meet your current energy demands, and give you guys 100% electric offset, and result in north of $12,000 a year in savings. This system would be fully maintained by Simple Ray. It would lock in your cost of energy for 30 years. So rather than having to worry about budgeting in future energy costs, we would be able to flatten that for you folks. And your cost of energy would be 5.85 cents a kilowatt hour going forward. Where currently, you're spending about 8 cents or north of that per kilowatt hour. And like I said, it resulted in saving $12,174 year one. And with our estimates, by the final year, with energy increases at about 3.5% a year annually across the board, you guys would be saving about $54,000 a year in energy. Now, like Rob said, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse, but this is something where I think it's a pretty good idea to get the cart a little bit from the horse, because this is, you guys are going to want to move sooner than later on this, because a large part of this depends on the tax equity partner being able to help facilitate this project, and they're going to get a 26% federal tax credit, if we're able to lock this in this year, or if we wait till the following year in spring, that tax credit is going to drop to 22%. And more than likely, well, it's definitely going to cause that rate to increase quite a bit. So to do that, we have to be able to do what's called safe harbor the project, which means we're going to need some kind of commitment.
Nope, I think we lost Tom. Yeah, I am. This is Luke. I'm not hearing him. He's still on here, but yeah. So while we need to keep moving here, I can pick up for Tom a little bit. Probably a good time to maybe we'll just pause and I can answer some questions while Tom's getting back on here. So my idea with the whole solar thing too, look, Tom reached out to us. He got our name through the grant that we applied for, I believe. So I met with him. The thing about the solar, I would like to work it in with our current project we got going on. I think Tom was kind of going there that there's some tax credits that you can get a corporate partner to come in and work with, correct?
Yeah. And so, you know, basically because you guys aren't a for-profit entity, you don't have tax liability. If someone else would own the project, get those tax credits, and then pass along some of the savings to you guys, and so they take care of O&M, and they would own the array for 30 years in this current form.
So I know this is what similar to what U of I does with their solar that they're building out throughout. And so someone comes in and builds it, they take the tax credit. U of I gets the discount in electricity. Now, I know when they do these, because I was just out by the one over by Church Street. They put big fences around them. Usually they rock. Were they rocking inside, or?
It just depends on the site. So, you know, you may or may not have to fence it in. I would have to check on this proposal, but, you know, given there's a walking path, it probably wouldn't hurt to do that. And then you do a lot of different things on the inside. We're probably proposing bifacial module, so we maybe put down some crushed concrete or crushed rock that increase the reflectivity off the ground. You would actually get some production on the back side of the module. So people do all sorts of things. They put in pollinator gardens for bees. I mean, you can put sheep in it. There's a never-ending assortment of things you can do that, you know, I don't want to say spice it up, but make it even more friendly and appealing and tell a good story.
Okay. Because that was one of the questions that our maintenance department had, because we have a very small maintenance department, and mowing, more things to mow around, they were not thrilled about. So.
Yeah. So that's the main selling point of this power purchase agreement. That capital outlay doesn't come out of your guys' budget, and the operation ongoing maintenance is the responsibility of whoever ends up owning the array, the financier. So they would probably contract with someone locally to mow the grass or, you know, figure out whatever that maintenance program would look like. Essentially, you guys just get to write a smaller check for your electricity, and everything else is turnkey from our side.
All right, since I've been doing the talking, do you guys have any questions?
Forgive me if this sounds rude. I do not mean it in any way to sound rude. But why does that sound too good to be true? That all we have to do is write a smaller check for the electricity?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Currently in the state of Illinois, there's an incentive program called the Adjustable Block Program. Those incentives are very good. There's another incentive called the Smart Improver Rebate. And if you kind of stack all these incentives in a really good way, you get a pretty good return on your investment. And when you start to get into systems of this size, you start to get some economies of scale. So you guys have the advantage of, you know, having a large enough system to attract some of the tax equity, and the install cost on this is attractive from a financier's point of view. They're getting a lot of kilowatt hours for every dollar that they spend. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting these things installed through this decision-making process and getting in line for the money. So, you know, what we're kind of after here is so many people signed up for the program. There's currently a wait list. So we're keeping putting projects on the wait list, and then they eventually get approved. And so I think this is circling back to Tom's point of, you know, we do want to get the cart before the horse a little bit, because we do have some paperwork and some programs to work through in the coming months if you were to decide to move forward.
What's the big time frame? So do we have 2 months? Do we have 6 months? Do we have a year?
You know, I'm going to say conservatively, probably at 6 to 12 months from when you pull the trigger to when the project will potentially get financed. They're supposed to, and this is the reason why I was on the call, because I keep track of the policy stuff. There's a few bills floating around in Springfield to refund the program and to kind of fix that issue. And because of COVID, you know, the spring session got canceled, the veto session just got canceled. So we feel like whenever there's a full session of the legislature, a lot of these projects will get funded at that point in time. So we're kind of in this guessing game because of COVID of when the legislature will meet and when those bills will be pushed through. So in the meantime, we're getting as many projects as we can on this wait list. And so, you know, your guys' commitment is basically, you know, be a form of letter of intent from us saying if we can secure all these incentives and we commit to give you guys this rate, if we get all that taken care of, only then will the project move forward.
What kind of recourse do we as a village have if the array owner does not hold up their end of the deal with taking care of the field that the array is in? Because I know that one of the sites near campus has had an awful lot of issues because they just let the grass grow up, and they're having issues with that array out there. So what can we do? And then what happens if the owner, after 30 years, decides to just abandon it?
Yeah, so really good question. So every power purchase agreement can end up being a little bit different. And in that power purchase agreement, not only does it state, you know, the rate you're going to pay for electricity, but it will also have standards on both sides. And so in that, you know, you can write in, you know, the grass and, you know, any vegetation, you know, should not be higher than 24 inches or 12 inches or whatever it needs to be to make you guys feel comfortable. And then you just write in the recourse if that doesn't happen. So it's a contract between you and the financier. And then they also have certain expectations, right? If the array isn't functioning properly, you know, they want to be able to go and repair the system, because if it's not functioning, they're not generating revenue. So they want access, you know, within 48 hours of a major issue. And so, you know, it's kind of like a lease for your house or a mortgage, right? You just have these terms of what happens if. And, you know, they've been pretty standardized by the industry. It's a pretty common mechanism. And, you know, we just want to go through that and make sure you felt comfortable with all the language there and any recourse in that. And then the second question, which is an interesting question, you know, what happens after 30 years? That's also written into these contracts, because, you know, it's kind of hard to know today, you know, where is the village going to be at 30 years from now? And so it might be that you guys decide to extend the contract another 5 years or another 10 years. And so that language can be baked in. Or you guys could say in 30 years, we want the option to have the land returned to as it is today. We'll operate the array if we would like to at that point, or, you know, maybe the financier, they've earned their return. I get sold to the village for a very small amount at the end of the contract. So you can kind of, you know, I don't want to say pick your own destiny, but you can have some flexibility built in there now, not knowing, you know, without committing future boards to financial resources that they may not want to spend.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there an option for an alternate location for these? I'm not sure. I'd have to think about it, but if I'm totally for in between those walkways there, I was wondering, like, to the north of all that, and then on the back west side of the hill, and then on the south side of the property, if we can go around there instead of right down the middle of it.
We're not going down the middle. It's going on the, where that field is at. Yeah, that big field as you drive in.
Can you put
right
up
along
the
hill? I sent you the documents. I think in one of those.
Yeah, I don't see the site, like the site plan.
Oh,
there it is.
There.
There was a. I thought one of those documents had a picture in it.
Yeah, I have it on the screen.
Yeah. Okay.
So to the left is the hill, right?
I mean, we can put it other places. This is just, we walked around that entire area, and this is one of the ideas we had, so we wrote it up. So it can always be moved somewhere else.
Yeah, just, this is Tom again. Sorry I got kicked out, or I don't know what happened with my computer and my internet connection for a minute. The area on the northern end that looks really good, I thought that would be an ideal location initially as well. But that's actually held by St. Patrick's Cemetery. Mm-hmm. If they were willing to unload that or donate it, that would kind of create an issue. And then the hillside would create definitely more engineering challenges, which just in my opinion, and Lewis probably support this too, could affect the rate of the PPA as well. We could definitely use some other parts of that in-between area. If you notice, it doesn't start immediately in the wall, in between the walkways. But this is like Rob just said, it's a preliminary design. It's what we've got for right now. Just because with the hillside and everything being so drastic, we are a little limited on space.
So would these solar panels, if that is the final location, the way they're arranged would appear to me that they tilt in a north-south orientation as opposed to an east-west orientation. Is that correct?
They would face south with racking running east and west. They'd be set at a 30-degree angle because that's most optimal in our area of the northern hemisphere. Sometimes you can set them back at a 20-degree angle if you're going to be jamming, basically setting more panels within a smaller space. But given the area that we've got, I believe we've got them set for a 30-degree pitch with the racking running east and west and the panels facing south. I know that's what we got.
Okay.
You zoom out, you can kind of get a better idea. Sometimes it might look a little off.
Hey, I'm probably going to get some feedback from the community. I'm just not, me in particular, I'm not crazy about them running right down the middle of the whole area there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. We have options, and I sent this to Terry too, the engineer, and it's something we can look at working into the whole project as a whole.
Yeah, and I mean, as we cultivate this project too, we've got excellent project management that will help basically bring this project to light and be able to make it into exactly what you guys would like. We're going to do site visits. We're going to make sure that we come up with a mock-up that meets your goals, as well as your aesthetic, you know, make it aesthetically pleasing to your eye as well, or have it just laid out in the manner that you guys would prefer. So it's something that we're going to work through, and it's something that we do an excellent job on overcoming, like, objectives and issues like this, where we will figure out a solution for you folks. It's just like Rob touched on earlier, it's just an initial preliminary design. It can be worked on, it can be changed, and we can come up with something different in the long haul too.
And this is all in the chat too, since it didn't get put in the board packets. I put it in the chat on the Teams thing. So if you look in there, you can actually pull up the different ideas for lease agreements and everything. things didn't get uploaded like they were supposed to, so everybody didn't get a chance to review all of it.
Yeah, that's, I completely understand.
Any other questions for these guys? I'm sure we'll have more questions as time goes on, too.
Absolutely.
It'll give them a few weeks to digest it, kind of look at it. And
what time frame are
my questions.
What,
yes?
What time frame are you guys hoping for from the village?
For a decision on whether or not you want to take a look at the project, no later than early to mid-December, I would say. Lewis, can you extrapolate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, we went to our financing partners and, you know, we presented the project to them in terms of, here's the project, you know, here's the likely off-taker, which is, you know, the village. You know, if we were to get this project and safe harbor those tax credits at the 26%, what rate, you know, could you provide? So, you know, if this goes into decision in 2021, you know, we could revisit the rates then. It's just like anything, right? There's material costs that fluctuate. There's financing costs that fluctuate. So there's a possibility the rates could change a little bit if we slide into 2021. Also realize, you know, you guys have a lot of decisions on your plate, and this year is kind of an odd one. But we can lock in these rates if we could get a letter of intent signed by the end of the year.
Yep. Other questions? Lots of thoughtful looks.
In the meantime, can you look at different locations for these that you can propose?
Yeah, I think we could. I could reassess everything and see what's available. And where, like, just to ask you, where else would you possibly like to see? Like, what would you prefer? Just so we're kind of moving in the right direction.
Myself, I think, you know, right now this goes right down the middle of that whole area. I think it would detour from what aesthetics we have there now. Also, when we do have kids sledding down the hill, the east side is majority of where they're going, and they'll be running right into the, I assume it has a fence around it.
Yeah.
Right in that. And then also, you know, we do have quite a few residents that walk that trail. You know, I think it would get boring. You know, nothing against your, you know, and I'm not saying I'm against this. I'm just, the location's kind of rubbing me a little different. But just walking around, the solar arrays would get boring after a while. Around the outer edge and into that raised area, I know we got a little construction going on there on the north side, or south side, sorry. And it, even if it went on the east side of the detention pond area there, just kind of more towards the outer edge than right down the center.
All right, very good. Well, I'll take a look and see what we're able to do, and we'll try to modify the design as much as possible and get something back over to you guys that stays within the parameters we have now for cost too. Get that done ASAP. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, and even that parking area, I don't hardly ever see anybody parking there. So even if you took up the western side, half of that parking area, I don't see that
western,
being an issue.
Eastern?
West, towards the west.
And something else, too, this is why I sent it to the engineer, too. There might be a possibility of putting it on the other side of the sewer plant, too, as they start doing that revision.
Yeah. And we've talked about, isn't there a building down there, out there we're going to tear down anyways?
I think so, yeah. There's a couple buildings out there in the sewer plant area.
You know, just kind of heads up to you guys, if you wanted it, if we were able to put it south of where the current sewer plant is, like if we were able to obtain that little bit of land, or if you guys are already holding it, I'm looking it up right now to see what the property lines look like. The closer we are to the meter, the better on projects like this, too, or any project when it comes to solar. So, yeah, I mean, we're definitely open for moving it. We just got to be able to make it work with, you know, the property lines and everything else. We'll take this back. We'll see what we're able to do and where we're able to move it to, and see what we're able to come up with. Is there any type of designs you guys currently have of the way the new, like, the upgrade's going to sit on the property by chance?
Yeah, we have a rough site plan of what it's going to look like.
Would you guys be able to share that with me just so I could get that over to my engineering and see where we have some available space?
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem.
Okay, excellent. Because, I mean, the other thing is, I don't know, the area around there, the Meharry family owns that, it looks like.
They do. And then on the other side of that, the creek there is the Fishers.
You guys, I mean, I don't know if it'd be possible to purchase like an acre and a half of land from them, or what they would charge for a 30-year lease on an acre and a half. I'm not sure on anything like that, but that's always a possibility too, you know, if they're willing to part with something like that, or even donate to the Tolono, the village Tolono, you know, like, now that's kind of getting, you know, that's complicating things some, but whatever, you know, we want to go to make this thing work. So if that's a possibility, you know, just let us know too, because we can always locate it somewhere around there as well.
Because on the back side of the sludge pond would be nice too.
Yeah, where St. Patrick's Church is at.
Well, the other direction. I'm thinking.
Oh yeah, that'd be excellent.
Where the sewer plant's at, then you've got the big.
Yep.
Overflow, but you've got all of that area. I think that's. You might have more of that area to.
I know. Just a little bit about ag, and from the topographical map, it looks like the area just west of the sludge pond is, looks like it's low yield grout too, so it might be something that they'd be willing to part with at a much cheaper rate, you know what I mean? They would know that kind of stuff. And then we'd be right next to the meter, which would be awesome. And it would not take away from the walking paths or anything like that. So we'll see what we can get in there. I mean, if you want me to, I can always have us come up with a design in that area, and we can work forward from there. Or we could use the parking area, plus all that area that's south of the walking path too. That's just north of the current building in here.
Okay. And like I said, we can have our engineers talk to you too with their ideas. And
yeah,
you know, there's some stuff that's getting torn down, and that whole area is going to get kind of moved around a little bit.
Right.
We might be able to put it all right there on south of the sewer plant, too.
That'd be awesome. That'd be perfect.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Can you have Donahue send him that site plan, that preliminary site?
I will. I was looking to see if
I've got it somewhere. I just can't find it.
Yeah, I'll send it. Remind me, if you don't get an email from me in the next couple days, Tom, remind me and I'll send you.
No, Peter, I'll put a tap into that right now, actually.
Preliminary plans. I've got to get back on this laptop, and if I do that, it'll probably mess up this whole entire meeting thing.
I get it. I totally get it. I did earlier. All right, well, I mean, what we can do then, we'll kind of come up with a couple different drawing options. I'll email you about the site plan. Like Lewis said, as long as we have an LOI signed before end of year, I mean, you know, even if it's got to be, I guess, the week of Christmas, we could even get that done. We're really committed to this project and trying to help you guys see this through and saving a nice chunk of change annually for the next 30 years.
So when we do build the new sewer plant, the electricity is going to go way down on it.
Okay.
How's that going to affect the savings and stuff?
Well, I mean, if we had it safe harbored and we were able to estimate the size of it, I believe that we can resize the array at that point. Lewis, can you step in on that a little bit?
Yeah, the savings would just go down proportionately. So if we cut the array in half, your savings will roughly go down by half, assuming that we still have the same economies of scale on building it. So we just need to know those projections and could work with your engineering firm or you guys on what you guys think that's going to be in the future.
Okay.
This is Mark Miller. I'm a village lawyer. It's my understanding that, let's pretend that the efficiency of the plant got down to zero, we wouldn't be able to sell the energy. All we're able to do is knock it off any bill that we have. Is that correct, or how does that work?
That's basically it, Mark. I mean, what we have in Illinois already, what we're proposing here is a system that would net meter, and Ameren allows you to net meter too, where imagine it being like a monthly checking account. The array will produce what your current demand is. That's how it's designed. We took 12 months of your guys' bills with your electric demand built into it, and the array produces what your 12 months of bills is. So, like, essentially it ends up at a net zero cost as it's designed now, with maybe a little bit of overproduction or a little bit of underproduction. With the PPA mock-up or design, though, you guys are covered essentially either way, and the savings is the savings. You're going to save it. If you use that much power, you're going to save $12,000 a year. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay. But if we use under that amount of power, does that give us more savings?
No, it would not.
Okay.
That's why we want to build it to what you got, what your demand is. That's why we have to work with your engineering and get that all figured out if it's going to go down substantially. I mean, given the size of the village and everything like that, I mean, I know it could go down some, but I mean, I'm assuming it's still going to use a great deal of power, and it's still going to be within somewhat of the range of size of what we're proposing here. You know, it's at least 70% of what we're saying, I guess.
Okay.
One more variation, and that is, since the village is one customer, or could be one customer, would that offset village hall or their village expenses or not?
Because of the way net metering works in our state, I wish it would, but it would not, because it would only be linked to the meter at that location. Unfortunately, there's other parts of the country where they would allow that. It's called virtual net metering, but where we live in the state of Illinois, they do not allow virtual net metering, so it's per site. And it's all based on where that array is located and what meter it's feeding. It'd be really cool if it did, though.
Other questions? All right, well, thanks, guys, for your presentation.
Absolutely. I'll email you in a couple days. I'll email you, actually, tomorrow about the site plans, and then we can go forward from there. I'll have a couple other designs shot over you guys before you know it.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I see you, Nick.
All right. For public work stuff, we have a job description now approved. So I'll have Raina get that posted tomorrow when she gets into work.
Do we get that?
For the full-time employee. We've already discussed the water mains, adding them onto the IEPA loan application. In the board packet, there was talk about the sign that Sydney got, the speed sign. Those are about $2,399. So.
How much?
$2,399, I believe. If I wrote down it right. It's in the board packet. There's the PDF of what the sign can do, what it looks like, and then there's what they paid for it. There used to be some grants and stuff out there for it. I don't know if there still is. I know one place got some digital signs that we borrowed for Fun Day, and a couple state reps did some kind of project where they gave them to the community as long as the community loaned them out to other communities if they needed them. So I don't know if there's anything like that still going on or not, but we can look around. Bills. Any questions on the bills?
Do we have money in the budget for one of these, Rob? Or two of these?
I don't think so right now. I would like to look closer to the first of the year to see where we're at on budgets. Because we're not doing bad. We've tightened our belt a little bit. We're not doing bad. If we lower the speed limit, I would like to really, really seriously look into getting a couple of these. Because they're great. They're great for warning people. They're great for bringing up awareness. Now we're going to have some teenagers try to race the sign and see how fast they can make them go.
35.
But other than that, they do deter and they do like bring awareness. I do like the little signs, and you can move them around.
I would like to at least purchase two of these.
Okay. Well, let's look at it. But
The other thing we need to look at is what IDOT. I'm sure IDOT has some regulations on this before we install one, if we do it out on 45. I have a hard time seeing IDOT just letting us put a sign up. I could be wrong, but the way they are about everything else.
We could put it where the fun day sign is. Right?
Yeah, but it would
that
be
sign that we put up on fun day closer. Is actually IDOT. I mean, we didn't go to IDOT to get approval, but...
Mark, where does... did you say it's Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney's where these came from.
No, he's wanting to know about who purchased one of these signs.
I think we just lost Mark. Sydney's the one that purchased them. That's where we got the information from.
I'm just saying for... If we do buy one, we want to make sure we get in contact with IDOT before we just install it.
Well, we can install it on our streets, no problem. It's just 45 corridor.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
They might. But the nice thing about the signs is they are, we can actually take them and move them around.
So, Rob, what is still holding us back from lowering the speed limit?
Nothing. Mark is going to work with Justin. Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you.
To write up the, like a quick thing. Well, Justin's got it. He did a really good job. What Mark was going to add to it, just fluff to make it look better, was kind of lot sizes and some other stuff just to kind of add into it. But that's it. Well, we already have an ordinance that lowers the speed limit. We need to probably tweak that ordinance a little bit. So that's kind of where we're at, just waiting for that Mark and Justin to kind of give us a finished project or product on that study.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary. I mean, there's some recommended things that you probably want to have in the study that will provide you with good information on making a good decision on whether or not to make the adjustments. And then I think we want to do a new ordinance that will do the speed limit adjustment based on the study. And that's the point of it.
Perfect. That's it. That's where we're at. So hopefully by the first of the year, we can have that all in there and done.
Mark, all right. for the sign for Sydney, did they put it out on their... out on the IDOT property?
I don't know. I don't know where they have it marked. Do you know where Sydney has their signs?
It's just off the road as you're going into the village coming the trail in the east. I don't know exactly what property it's on.
Did they have to get any... okay or anything from IDOT when they installed that?
I don't know anything about that part of it.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions about the sign? All right, bills to be paid.
I just have a quick question about one to... Quadient for $677. What is that?
That's our postage.
make a motion to pay bills as presented.
A second.
Roll call.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
We have one sewer credit for 406 West Strong Street for $67.80. Apparently, the granddaughter left the sprinkler on.
I'll make a motion to accept the sewer credit. For $67.80 on 406 West Strong Street.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, record session minutes for November 3rd, 2020.
I'll make a motion to accept the regular session minutes for 11/03/2020.
A second?
Second.
Roll call?
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Oh, all right, fun stuff. The down to new business, the B, review and approval of ordinance 2020-026, the ordinance authorizing and providing for the issuance of a not to exceed $4,250,000 aggregated principal amount of the general obligation refunding bonds. This is a refinance of the bonds.
I didn't get a chance to review this. Can someone summarize this?
Randy, do you want to summarize it?
It's just giving us approval to go ahead with the refinance. It can't exceed the 4.25. It's actually going to be, I think it's $3,950,000, I think. It's just a formality of the refinance.
This is the TIF funding in the.
Yeah, this is the 40-page ordinance.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Do we have to do that tonight?
Yeah, because this is what we've been working for the last, as we've been building up to it with Ice Miller and all the groups, all the stuff that's been in the last, I don't know, six meetings with the refunding of the.
I think I thought we had just done everything we needed to do for that.
We pretty much did, but you still have to approve everything's done now, but we have to approve the ordinance to finish it up, to put the bow on it, essentially.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this ordinance, the way we have it written, is an alternate source bond, which means that, let me make sure that I'm saying that right. Yeah, it's an alternate revenue source, which means we're going to use TIF funds to pay it, versus raising people's taxes.
Yes.
I'll make a motion that to approve ordinance 2020-026.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, is there anything for to discuss? We have our new building guy has went around all the nuisance properties. I think they're going to probably have something at the next board meeting on nuisance properties. They're probably going to bug the living daylights out of Mark to move on some of them and keep the momentum going on it. Have they talked to you at all, Jared?
No, they haven't, but I did. I went around and reviewed some of the properties, and some have cleaned up a little bit, but some are just still the same.
Okay. I would like for you to work with our new guy. It's kind of like your passion, and it's his passion, too, to get out there and maybe visit some of them. And
I think the biggest ones that we are getting faced with are the ones that we actually have to remove a structure or vehicle to get them off this list. And the biggest ones are the ones that are, you know, obscuring other people's businesses or, you know, making Tolona look like a used car lot and not a good representation of how we want to look.
Especially what I have to hate is you Google Tolona and go to like Google Maps, the picture you get is of someone's yard that's all trashed with garbage coming out of their garage.
Yeah.
Which is a little frustrating.
So, I mean, like I said, there's been a few properties that, you know, I've cleaned up some trash and cut down some weeds and stuff like that. But, you know, the major ones on this list are not going to budge without some type of, you know, issuance of a fine.
No, and that's what we do. You levy fines and you get compliance, and we've had good luck with that in the past. So, unfortunately, I don't want to do it, but unfortunately, we have to do it.
But yeah, I would like to know, you know, have the new guy that's going around and doing all these, you know, get with me too, because get his input on some of this as well. But I mean, obviously, it just comes down to what we can and cannot do to get some of these off our list. I mean, the one guy down the street from my house, the one car's gone, but the big truck by the side of the road is still sitting there. So just things like that where, you know, one thing's gone, but one thing's still there, and, you know, people are not willing to do anything in general, but now especially they're not wanting to do anything.
All right, anything else for discussion?
But on that note, I would like to know if I remember there was something passed around a few months ago with the guy that's willing to go around and pick up people's trash and appliances and whatever it was. If we can get that information back or sent to me, so I can contact this guy to see exactly what he can and cannot pick up and like prices, and then, you know, we can distribute these to when I go to these people's houses and say, you know, hey, we have somebody that can do this, rather than just putting it in the mail, you know, it's something that I can take to them as well.
Only problem with you taking it is then it's saying that the village supports using this person versus any other person that can do the same thing.
Gotcha.
It is available on at least one Tolono-related Facebook site. And those that care are probably already seeing that and contacting them. But it wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt if maybe we put it on our Facebook page with a disclaimer, or if you did hand them something, it had a disclaimer on it saying,
right,
in no way is this person, you know.
Or even if we, you know, if somebody has options.
Right.
You know, yeah.
That well, we, a list of options.
Putting together a flyer.
Absolutely.
And saying, hey, here's some of the businesses that come to town.
That do these kinds of things.
Open-ended that anybody could, we could add anybody to the list that wants to.
Right.
We're not forcing. We do it with rental properties. We do it with.
Garbage companies.
Garbage, exactly. So you can go in the village hall and we've talked about, something we've talked about in the office is putting together a welcome packet. When you move to town, you have to come in and put the water in your name, that the ladies in the office can hand them like a little basket of, you know, some goodies, some stuff that here in town, and I'm sure some businesses would donate some stuff to put in there, and just put like a little welcome basket in there. So, and that could be included in that too, put together a little list. Perfect. Anything else? I don't think we have anything for executive session. Our next meeting will be December 1st, 2020. Anything else?
No? I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Perfect. Any second?
Second.
Roll call.
Buffalo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Brandy, can you stay on for a second?
Okay.
I just want to know where you want all this stuff.
If you just leave it in front of my chair, and I'll stop by in the morning and get it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.